Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We have a massive theory on the plane lady. Popcorn Power was saying before the show begins, I have a hypothesis about the schizo plane lady. It was stated that she claimed the guy stole her Apple AirPods. It is also stated that she was seated next to a family. What isn't stated but can be seen in the video is a black woman claiming that she is a liar and will sue her. So schizo woman thinks the black teen stole her AirPods. She works in public relations. She knows that she cannot accuse a black family of having stolen from her, but staying stuck on the long flight next to thieving black people is also untenable. She cannot get another seat, so she does and says anything she has to in order to get off that plane. Anything is better than being labeled the next Karen. She knows what happened to the New York Karen who had her rental bike stolen from her. That motherfucker is not real. I can't believe that. So much theorizing is being done to avoid the one theory that I've had from the beginning, which explains everything. This girl is just a schizophrenic. And the thing is, I've been with so much people like this. I know schizophrenics so much, and I know them from so close, that I know there are things, sometimes they will react, sometimes they will have an impression of shape-shifting that is amplified by the race of people. I've known some schizophrenics, if they saw an Asian, they went totally insane. And believe me or not, it is like this. The prosopagnosia, that is the symptom of certain psychiatric disease, including somewhat in schizophrenia, although it's not a main symptom, but when it shows, this kind of, oh, this is not his true face. This is someone else within behind that face. That is super triggered by race. And there are schizophrenics, they will see a black person, they go totally wild. There are some schizophrenic, they have the conviction that Asians are not real. That is how, and it's not racist. It's really a defect that they have in their, the functioning of the part of the brain that recognizes faces. And it gives them this impression that there's some ghost that took over this body. But I can't believe there are people making paranoid stories about NASA, FBI, the feds knew that there was something wrong with this plane or something. She's a Fed agent. But all of this, instead of seeing the obvious, which is we have a woman who has schizophrenia here. And having known women with schizophrenia, I've been with them again and again. It is exactly that way. And now maybe she's on her meds as she passes all these interviews. Because every time they touch upon this subject, she says, well, I don't want to talk about it too much, but I have some convictions about what happened then. So she still believes it, still as of today. And yet they have uncovered old tweets of her. We will have a look at it. Tweets that she was making as this happened. So she had a Twitter account that wasn't known to the public. That is another thing I've seen from schizophrenics. They have a Twitter account. It's a completely ignored Twitter account, but they have the impression that they're talking to the voices in their head and the whole world. So they have their impression that they have, like when they start hearing voices or they start hearing people criticizing them in their head, they go to Twitter, they tweet. Everyone ignores this tweet. No one likes it. No one retweets it. But they think they have addressed the thing, okay? And we have found an account of hers that she had at the moment of the plane crisis, and she tweeted what was truly on her mind then. I can't wait to get to have a look at this. It's amazing. It gives us some insight into what happened, and my predictions of the beginning, my call on this was totally correct. She's just a schizophrenic, guys. If someone wants to save her, someone wants to volunteer, for this horrible life of being with a woman who's convinced that you're a ghost at some, on some days when she doesn't take her pills. Perhaps we will find a volunteer in the chat. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Welcome, Richard Spencer. This is what I like about Richard Spencer. He always sees politics from the future standpoint. And that is a practice that I don't see in basically any political commentators except him. And I try to do that also. But as a biologist, I see maybe too far into the future. I care about too distant into the future. But Richard Spencer has this care about what will be history 5 years from now. And he sees the current days always like this. He says, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Three men will be scapegoated over the coming year. Joe Biden, Volodymyr Zelensky, and Bibi Netanyahu. That is a very interesting possibility. I don't know, though, Richard. These are powerful people, you know. If the future you talk about where they are being scapegoat is true, would this be a future of domination again of the Palestinian opinion? Would this be a future where the Zionists have lost power, have lost control over the machine? I love the possible future that Richard is talking about here, but will it come so quick? Or will the machine find a way to rehabilitate these three and kind of consider them as having done a good service to Western civilization? Callum Oxworth says, it's not a scapegoat when the goat did it. Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, they will be criticized rightfully. That is true. That is true. They will be criticized for what they've actually done. And they have lended their voices to horrible, horrible geopolitical undoings. This is fascinating. These white men live in such a world where fights are expected to break out at school. So much so that they thought it would be funny to simulate such a fight in order to give flowers to their teachers. In the moral signal, I call these situations Santas because the deceptive wrapping of a generous action into a disguise shares similarities with the Santa Claus story. A lie for giving. So they simulate, as their teacher arrives in the class, they simulate a massive fight where there would be two guys fighting at the middle and everyone cheering and participating to the fight. And someone was noting, this is the first all-white class that I've seen in a while. This is very white behavior right there. Amazing. A Santa here, a surprising Santa. Stray's channel says they want to bang her. Yeah, maybe. You know, I was actually shocked by the height. Basically, you look at the height of the teacher, she's not any higher than these guys. It's fascinating. You know, she could be in love with them, even if she's a height picker, a picky heightist. Silver Spider says, wow, did not get the notification for the show. Sorry about this. Saturn Shine says, they don't like smart kids because they teach to the lowest IQs in the class. Oh yeah, there's this pull by the bottom happening in the modern school. It is absolutely disgusting. Lucas Gage, our friend, has had a visit of the police because he's Lucas Gage is a man who's had multiple lives on Twitter. And I have great admiration for this. The ability to meme, to be viral, and then to do it again, and then to do it again and again and again. You know, I love that Lucas Gage at some point changed his name, changed his Twitter account, and you know, had shows of 100 viewers sometime, 100 views total on the video. And then came back under another identity, rebuilt his Twitter account, and now is a major voice in the Israel-Palestine story. And it's a guy that we've had many times on the show, and that I went on his show as a guest. Much respect to him, because he is within the million views range on many of his tweets, on a second life, basically, on a second identity, second name. That is something that shows talent when you, because viral once is very easy, especially if you're a sexy woman. Viral once, you can do it. The question is, how much gas are you burning in your first viral rise? But viral twice, viral five times, viral all the time, the way Lucas Gage does, is something special. And so here he is, because of his popularity. The Jews are pissed, and they are... on the internet, you know, you've seen how they are pissed in relation to the Hamas stuff. And Lucas Gage has become a strong critique of Israel. So they sent the police to him by making anonymous calls to the police. And, and you know, claiming, oh, well, here's this segment of this tweet that looks like it could be violent.
I'm just recording it for my safety, and because I know how these people work. So
we all wear body cams.
So okay. No. Okay. All right. So all right. Go ahead.
I received a couple of things, I guess, from what I would assume is your Twitter page.
Sure.
Just in reference to, I guess, Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Just in reference to, I guess, Jewish people. Uh-huh. Yeah. I know the drill. I've been through it.
Stuff like this. Stop being soft on Jews.
Right.
God is telling us to go hard on them. Mm-hmm.
God is telling us to go hard on them. So that is the most violent segment of any Lucas Gage tweet in the last years, basically. That is the basis for the call to the police. We need to go hard on them. In a context, of course, where it was clear that Lucas Gage was talking about hard critique of their behavior as part of the bombing of Gaza. We need to go hard on them. And just because it's kind of open-ended, if taken out of context, they were able to call the police. And the police needs to change its practice, because the current police practice is respect any call to them equally and do the whole investigation. So here, the premise for the police to be going at Lucas Gage's house is to say, well, here, there's these people who think you're going to commit violence. We are here to investigate whether you intend to commit violence. First, if someone was intending a crime, they might not want to tell it to you. So I don't know how good of an investigation that is. Secondly, you have to adjust the police practice to the 21st century, which is the century of spam, the century of lies, the century of anonymity. Because there's no one paying the price for these false calls to the police, they should be dismissed. They should be dismissed except on super serious ground. That is a problem we need to fix, because these anonymous... And Lucas Gage will make a beautiful point at the middle of this video, because the policeman will be like, oh yeah, we're not here to tell you what you can't say. We're not here to control your speech. And Lucas Gage explains, well, to who did you respond? You responded to some anonymous person. This anonymous person was on some forum plotting this whole thing against me. This anonymous person had political preferences that were ultimately against mine. They were a political opponent of me. And so ultimately, you are here to enforce a form of pressure on my speech. Ultimately, you are here at the service of a bunch of troll demons, as Jordan Peterson would call them. And you are the arm enforcing a a tactic of harassment that is planned by by someone on the internet who does it for political purpose. So it doesn't matter that you, as a policeman, aren't here to oppress my political right. Your whole process is designed by someone and wanted by someone to oppress my political rights.
Serve it, and stuff like that.
Right. This is not violent. This is, to me, saying hardened criticism.
And yeah, the police should review these texts carefully and say, does that fit within the First Amendment? It is very clear the legal history of this, the precedents are very clear. Going hard on Jewish people as part of a critique of their behavior in Israel is not something that is barred as violent under the First Amendment. It is totally free speech. It was the job of the police to say, do I have grounds here to believe that there could be violence? And do I have grounds to believe that there is speech here that goes beyond the limit of the First Amendment? They should have done this, and they should have stayed home.
To wake everyone up, even them. I've made several videos about this. I don't hate anybody. Watch out for this guy. I don't hate people. So this is the thing. What I'm doing, I'm pushing my free speech to the maximum. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything violent. I don't wish death upon anyone. I made several videos. Now, if you want to talk about death threats, I actually have tons of death threats from these people on me that I've posted on Twitter or X. I have them all saved in my computer of all sorts of death. I have IP addresses I got from these people. So they're the ones sending me death threats, literally saying to kill me and my family.
Right, which is absolutely wrong.
Even remember last time you came here to talk to me, I sent you guys the stuff and nothing happened. Because what can you do?
Well, we do run across problems. And like I said, nobody's here is coming to your house telling you what you can and cannot.
So this guy is the local police. These two guys are the state police.
Not say.
Right.
Okay, but like I told you in the past, we hear certain things and we get stuff pushed to us. We at least have to...
This has happened a lot in the UK. This should not happen in America. We have to find a way that this doesn't happen in America. They have to process the speech in the police station and ask themselves, do I have a credible report of violence here, or should I bar this report as not credible? We have to have an anti-spam in the police. We have anti-spam mechanism everywhere now. Bitcoin, email, IP addresses, all of the packets that get exchanged, they get all checked for spam. We all need spam anti-spam mechanism. The police must have this, or else they will let themselves be transformed into a weaponized arm of the trolls of the internet.
No, I understand that, and that's your job. You have to make sure that I'm not some crazy, violent person. And I'm not, that's why I'm willing to talk to you guys, but I'm recording this because I know how this works. Like, you guys come here, then they say, oh, the police showed up, and the FBI came years ago with the same concerns. Because they came first about COVID. I said, if you guys put shots on us, I'll put shots back. It's a plan.
Oh yeah, Lucas Gage here was at the limit. But you know, you have to give it to him. If self-defense is a thing, you should be able to self-defend against someone trying to inject you with something you don't understand. If self-defense is a thing, you should be able to defend against forced vaccination.
Words.
I remember that.
Like, if you're going to come in here with shot, I don't even have a gun, by the way, just so you know. I'm not registered. I don't have a gun at all.
Okay.
I have PTSD. I don't know if I can even get a gun. But anyway, the point is, I've said things like this that are puns. They're play on words. I don't have any intention of hurting anyone. And I've made videos about this constantly. So when I say go hard on Jewish people, I'm saying when they make books about white privilege, you see the guy Alvin... Yeah. Klein or some Jewish person saying white people this, white privilege that. It could be Tim Wise. It could be the late Ignev, Noel Ignatev. He's like, white people are a problem. They can say all this and we can't push back and say, hey, you know what? You guys have a Zionist issue or communist issue. And these, you know, there's Jewish people behind this stuff. The point I'm trying to say is I'm not saying anything violent. And
I love Lucas Gage, who practices here something that I've been living by, which is an event in your life that you don't control happens. You might as well turn it into a viral moment to try to get some more exposure. So here, beautiful work, because he gets 500,000 views already just from the few hours it's been up. He already has 500,000 views on this video. And ultimately, the people who wanted to call the police to annoy him, they wanted to shut him down. They wanted this kind of speech not to be heard. Well, you just created the opposite effect here. There's 500,000 people who are hearing about Noel Ignatieff and his view of white people.
I'm not going to actually condone violence against Jewish people. So we see this Israel-Palestine issue right now. Right? The Hamas went over the wall, killed some Israelis. Now look what they're doing. What they're doing is way worse, and I condemn both sides of the situation.
Yeah, but that's what I would say. I would condemn
both sides. But I just lost my Linktree account, right? I just lost Venmo and PayPal for speaking out. Rolling Stone just wrote an article.
Oh, yeah, they are truly on the case of Lucas Gage, because yesterday we have seen he has lost his PayPal account. Yesterday we learned this. So they are really on the case. And as Lucas explains, they are calling all these banks and all these policemen. They just go by, oh, this guy has too much viral attention and he's pushing talking points that we don't like. Let's call PayPal. That's how it works. And the more popular, the more effective you are, the harder they go on you. Rise Again says, Gage thinks he's so clever and law-abiding that he can speak to the police safely. It's a bad idea. I mean, nothing's going to happen from any of this. Certainly, I wouldn't recommend the everyday guy to talk like Lucas Gage is doing here to the police. He's doing a lot of things that are not recommendable. He's leaving a lot of things on the record that could be used against him in other situations. But as a public personality, someone who understands the meaning of words, someone who knows every possible interpretation of every possible sentence he spouts, it's fine to do this as a public personality because, first, you can cash in on it. You can get more attention from it, as Lucas Gage here is bringing attention to talking points that many normies may have never heard. They may have never heard that, you know, there may be a boomer out there on Facebook, and the first video he ever sees that's talking about the Israel treatment of the Palestinians in a negative way may be this video right here. So I think it's totally fine as part of public speaking to use this opportunity to push further.
About me and several people on X, yeah, oh, this guy's a Nazi, right? I'm not a freaking Nazi, but that's what they call you that. If you said, look, I'm proud to be, you're a Nazi now. Well, call him a Nazi. He's not even a white guy. Right? If you say the wrong thing, if you say I stand against
this. Well, listen,
this,
obviously the world's super sensitive in regards
right,
to certain
of,
issues.
Of course,
and I
understand
would say
that.
It's not just a Jewish thing. That seems to be just about everything.
Right, right.
Oh, God, this guy needs the... this guy needs to the red pill on the Jewish people. It's not just a Jewish thing. It's everyone. You will find that it's not at criticizing everyone that you get three police agents on Twitter, that you get three police agents at your home. You will find that there are certain categories of people that that are more organized to make sure that they call the police when you criticize them. And that is neither black people nor white people.
But everything's sensitive.
But I mean, the thing is, the AIPAC, the Jewish, the thing about Jewish folks in general, they're great at networking.
This is absolutely not recommendable to continue on your discourse in front of the police. But Lucas is not talking to the police. Lucas is a viral guy. He thinks in terms of the internet. And so Lucas sees all of this as an opportunity to make a good video that will be seen a lot. And he's absolutely right. Here he is making beautiful talking points as if he was on a live stream. And yet it's his personal life that where he's getting annoyed for his job.
They're great at that. So they have the ability to voice their opinion and their strength like that. Even yeah. Alan Dershowitz admits this. The thing is, we people, us normal folk, we don't have that. So then when they just say, they just defame and libel you, you have no response. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm pushing back to make this happen where people understand, look, don't be afraid. Go hard back. Hey, listen, just because this happened 70 years ago to your people doesn't mean you could do this to the Gazans. It's pushing back with words. I'm not ever going to be violent
or
hurt people.
Obviously, we don't care about words. We care about,
right.
You know, actual physical violence and stuff like that and threats for violence. Yeah. So that is our primary purpose in coming out and talk to you.
But how do you guys interpret anything I said as violence is my question. Like, well, when it comes across your desk, does it come from the feds? Like, hey, listen, this guy's dangerous.
But if you remember when I came out here, I didn't accuse you of making violence.
Right, of course. I'm not saying you are at all.
I'm going to get some stuff across my desk that I'm going to have to come out and talk to you about.
Yeah.
Okay, and just make sure that, you know, what you're saying and what I remember you saying in the past is what you're applying, and that's that, you know, you're using words and you're trying
to, and you know what's crazy, officer, you won't find one post where I say I hate anybody. Mm-hmm. Jewish person, black person, any person of any group or race whatsoever. I had a past, in my past I was a little more unhinged, but I've grown up from that, because I am a veteran of PTSD. I even changed my name. Mm-hmm. My name is now Lucas Gage. I wanted to get rid
of this. Is In the position of Lucas, it's not so dramatic to be talking honestly about his past. But don't tell the police I used to be a racist and I'm not a racist anymore. There is no such thing as a past racist in today's world. So they are totally positioned to say, all right, I'll believe you on your past statement, but I won't believe you on your statement that you have changed. So don't recognize past wrongs. Although, you know, this is Lucas Gage. He's been doing it publicly for many years, and that's his stuff. He talks about this a lot. He's not ashamed. He has moved on in his life.
Rid of that life that I was involved in years ago, and I was confused trying to make sense of the world.
Okay.
And I come back and I say, all right, I tell my wife I'm done with this because things like this happen. Wrote a book. Okay, said I'm not going to be activist anymore. And then the Ukraine war happens. And I'm like, God damn.
So this is Lucas Gage actually tried to disappear from the internet. But then he was brought back, and he was telling me, you know, before our shows, he was talking to me sometimes for 5-10 minutes. And he was telling me, yeah, I'm moving out, and I'm changing identity, and I want to come back maybe on, have a Twitter account, but not comment on the everyday stuff and be engaged in the controversy. But he got totally pulled back because the Ukraine war came, and then Gaza, and he's back into the viral moment on these two fronts.
I got to say something. And then here I am viral again, and here I am. People want to hear what I have to say.
Right.
So because I'm growing in this way and I'm being tough, I'm saying what people want to say. They want to say things like, look, we're tired of this whining about this event and we can't talk back. We can't question it. People are supporting me because I'm truly about free speech, and nothing I've said is violent or even advocating violence whatsoever. And that
it's amazing, because this is the standard American founder position. It's what Lucas Gage is doing here shouldn't attract three policemen to your home. To the contrary, it should be the prevailing wisdom in 99% of the people you cross. That is what America should be.
That's obviously, you know that, but you got to do your job. They're going to send you here. You know, that's what they do. I'm not mad at any of you guys here.
I can tell you I'm not being sent by, you know, a certain race of people.
Oh, of course not. Right.
How do you know? This is what I want these state agents to understand. How do you know that you're not sent by people of a certain race? You've not gone through the thinking on this. You've not gone through the thinking of what leads to an anonymous call to your desk. What is it about, of all the millions of threats of violence that happen on an everyday basis in America, About 0.01% of them, 0.01% of them will get on your desk. Have you ever asked yourself why? Why are there certain appeals to violence, or claimed or alleged appeal to violence, that make it to your desk? Why is it on certain issues? Who is making these anonymous calls? Are there networks of people being paid to make sure to give the most trouble to certain ideologies on the internet? The answer to all these questions is yes. And the answer is, you don't know the race of the person who called you, and you don't know their intent, and you don't know why they were doing what they did. They might very well have evil intent, and you might be one of the tools of their evil plots.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, I don't have the checks.
I know you don't get orders from, like, Israel or Tel Aviv. I know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right, right. I know that. I know there's a system, and people called you, like, in concern. The thing is, what these people do is the one.
And this is where Lucas makes a beautiful case. I understand the order doesn't come straight from Israel, but here's how it works.
The ones that are fanatic, they get together, they start mass reporting, they start calling banks, they start calling credit cards, and they say, get rid of this guy, boycott. And then you get a report on your desk, this guy is crazy, look what he said, and this is why you're here. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, but as you can see, I don't know where they interpret that I'm being violent. I'm not, so.
Again, like I said, this is why I came out here. It's stuff like this. There was, you know, one other one, but I thought, you know, out of the three that I got, you know, these were the two more egregious out of the three.
Lucas, I'm with the state police.
Yes, all right, come on.
So the reason that the state police are here is because there was an anonymous tip to the attorney.
Anonymous tip. This shouldn't be a thing. If you cannot stand for your accusation, then the person that you accuse doesn't even have a right to meet their accuser because their accuser cannot be reached. And so because it's a denial of the right of the person being accused, because you're supposed to have the right to be confronted to your accusers. If the person is anonymous, we'll never know. We'll never know. Even if there was to be a prosecution of Lucas Gage on these words, we would never know who caused it. We would never know if that person was paid, biased, if they were racially interested in the question. You never get to know. That's a pure violation of a fundamental right, the right to confront your accusers.
General's hotline. They mentioned your name, said that you may pose a threat to the general public and Jewish people specifically.
Okay. Yeah, well,
they said that you have a bunch of guns.
But I don't have guns. I literally don't have guns.
Well, so my question to you, I can look up who has registered guns and everything.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody, that's all documented. But do you have any guns that we don't know about?
No, I don't have any guns.
Nothing hidden, nothing brought out of state and brought in? Or
No, I don't have any
anything
guns.
Anything that was gifted to you or that you inherited?
No, I don't. I don't have any guns. And the thing is, I never even tried to get a gun because I have post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. So when I went to my psychologist years ago, he said,
never acknowledge a psychiatric disorder to any authority. This can be used against you. Now, Lucas has a good family and a good life. But if you find yourself with a pissed off ex and she wants to take your children and she goes into a divorce and she says to the judge, I heard him admit to the police that he was PTSD. And there you go. Boom. You have a basis for the judge to deprive you of contact with your children. Never admit any psychiatric disorder. The best behavior with the police with respect to this and any judge, any social worker is everything is good. Everything is good. Everyone is safe. We are living a wonderful life. Everything is in order. Everyone has their needs met. Everyone is sleeping well. I have absolutely no need for help, support. I am not struggling emotionally as part of what's happening. I am not weak or I'm not fatigued by the events. This is, retain those sentences, practice them. Because let me tell you that just a misspeak on this, just a, it's been pretty busy, you know, since Mama Jeff is gone. It's been pretty busy. I have a lot of things on my shoulders. Just this can get you a call to Child Protective Services, a call to the family courts, a call to the police. Oh, well, he said he was mentally distraught by the leaving of his wife. So the only reaction that you are allowed to have is everything is fine. She has decided to go. I am doing absolutely fine. She has decided to go and there is no further work that I have to do. Everything is being well cared for. And always leave cues like this, that everything is okay. And, they will try with some lines of questioning. Well, aren't you a little more tired? You know, I'm seeing pouch under your eyes. No. Those are natural pouches that I have under my eyes. I am absolutely not tired. In fact, I'm doing great.
I won't even give you a signature to get a gun, because when I asked an officer, he's like, well, you'll probably get the gun, but you need to report the fact you have post-traumatic stress. The thing is, I think on the application, it says if you've been hospitalized. I've never been institutionalized, so I don't even know if I count or not. I just never got a gun. I just never have in my life. So, and I don't have any illegal weapons or drugs or bombs or anything.
No shotguns or anything like that?
Nothing. I literally have no weapon. And in fact, my wife and I were talking about getting one because of these threats that I'm getting.
Does she have any in her name?
No, she doesn't.
Or was she gifted or inherited anything?
We don't have any. Honestly, we have nothing. I'm actually unarmed completely. Like, these people say, come kill me. I say, come on, come at me. And I have no weapons. I literally don't. So, like, the thing is, now I should get one because now what do I do with the threats?
Now, that is something to avoid. Because saying I should get a gun, you should never say this. Now, in the case of Lucas Gage, maybe he doesn't plan to have a gun, so it's not dramatic for him. But as a general counsel to interacting with the police, there is never a future intent to buy a gun. Because that is something they note on their investigation. And that is something that won't have criminal meaning against you if you've done nothing wrong and if you don't get in court. But if you have a pissed off ex, oh well, he has indicated his intent to get a gun, so I'm scared. So I would like to have ex parte custody over the children. And since you're not there to defend your rights, and in fact you have no rights as a male in family courts, that is a basis for the judge to remove your children.
That I get. I have them all documented.
Like I told you last time, you have to report it.
Okay.
We don't know.
Well, I have them stacked up. I have them in folder.
We don't know about any threats unless they get reported.
Okay.
All right. So it goes on. It's still Lucas Gage doing his Lucas things. And then eventually the police say, okay, we're done. Bye bye.
Right. Thank you very much. Oh, okay. Come on, guys. Really? This is what you want to scare me with? You want to scare me with the police? I got nothing. I don't even have weapons. I have nothing. I've done nothing wrong. And you're taking my criticism as death threats, as I'm going to hurt you? I don't need to hurt you. You're hurting yourselves. You are hurting yourselves supporting genocide in Gaza. You are hurting yourselves asking people to censor and ban everyone. It's you hurting yourselves. I don't got to do anything to you, and I never will hurt anyone. Again, I live around Jewish people. The next town over is Lakewood. Always Jewish people around. My doctors are Jewish. I have Jewish friends. This isn't going to work, folks. You got to try something else. How about you change your behavior and we all become a big family? That's my message, but you hate that. And everything I say that's true, you call it hate speech. And then you do this to try to scare me. It's not going to work, folks. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's what just happened. I wanted to record it. I asked him if I could. He said I could. And there you have it. You know, this is what happens to people like me fighting for the truth. But, you know, I documented it. Now you can see. And of course, I will report the death threats that have been sent to me and my family. And unfortunately, nothing will come of it for sure. But hey, it is what it is. This is part.
All right. It's good to see Lucas Gage doing good. And it's frustrating that this happens at all. We should have better filtering on the side of the police. If you ask yourself, is this tweet in and of itself passing under a protection of the First Amendment or not? And if the answer is yes, then you cannot go see someone for First Amendment protected speech. It's equally protected speech to any other speech. It's as disgusting as if you were to go to see, let's say Lucas Gage says, I'm voting Trump. And someone calls you, the police, and says, oh, well, I heard that Lucas Gage likes Trump so much that he wants to kill Hillary Clinton. Now, if you go see Lucas Gage for what is an interpretation by a third party of speech that was totally legal and not violent, and you kind of take this paranoid interpretation into account, you are violating his First Amendment rights. And you are violating his First Amendment rights when you go for tweets that we all know would pass under the scrutiny of the Supreme Court. Ruffman says, Jeff, Arthur Schopenhauer said that women are a kind of intermediate stage between the child and the full-grown man. Do you agree with Schopenhauer's analysis, Papa? No, I don't think so. I think we must see woman as a developed entity of its own kind that has a purpose on this earth. And that has a purpose for, and that may seem foreign to our thinking as males, but that's because our thinking as males has been evolving to compete among each other. We have been evolving as males to be resilient to exploitation, resilient to parasitism, resilient to attacks, resilient to strategies being pulled against us. Whereas the female has evolved to care for the children. And care for the children requires this kind of openness to exploitation. Because after all, if you're evolutionarily tuned to care for children, you're going to want to be exploited to some extent. You're going to want to give away some of that energy in your boobs by breastfeeding. So it's two different mentalities. There's the mentality of giving to what's around you, because what's around you are your babies. And then there's the mentality of the male, which is protecting from what's around you, because what's around you is evil. Now, these two modes of development, not one of them is more childish than the other. It's just that one of them is fit to be a mother and one of them is fit to be a father. So it's not that that the woman doesn't develop cognitive skills that are eventually good in her adult life. They are, but it's a different life from the male. The male is responsible for inter-tribe war, and that requires a form of thinking that is more closed up, that is less willing to be exploited, less willing to deal with the I want a little more of this, I want a little more of that. Whereas the woman doesn't have these defenses because she's never needed it. She's never needed it in the world that we lived in. Tiffany Gomez, I'm the stranger you lock eyes with at the airport and imagine a life together. She's currently on a round of interviews and podcasts. And meanwhile, we have the new revelations from her Twitter account. So this is a Twitter account that no one knew about. This tweet has had 8,000 views. So that's less views than my lowest tweets that I do. So she was really an unknown out there, even as she was going viral. But what people didn't know is she had a Twitter account. Now, this Twitter account has been deleted, and she has created another Twitter account where she publishes these sexy photos where she's trying to rebrand herself as maybe crazy, but truly believing in the ghost that she saw. But now we get insight into Tiffany Gomez and what she thought as the events were happening, because she was tweeting to the world without anyone noticing.
I'm working on getting an interview.
So there it is. This is what she tweeted while going out of the plane. I'm working on Saturn Shine says, I don't know all these Twitter folks. Tiffany Gomez is the plane lady. She's the crazy plane lady who said, this motherfucker is not real. She went on a psychosis in the plane, started being in conflict with someone beside her. There was kind of a guessing that this may have been a black guy from part of a black family, but not sure. It's not on the video totally. And then she goes away and yells, pointing at him. Defenestrator says she's high on the crazy hot matrix. She's blowing up the meter at this point. And so she yells and exclaims with such righteousness. And, you know, kind of, I could feel as she was yelling it that it was her true conviction. Like, she was a representative of the truth. A knight of light against darkness. And there she was imposing her judgment. This motherfucker is not real! Just the... the genuineness of this truth yelling was refreshing. So refreshing that it became a mimetic sensation, partly because of this, partly because, holy shit, would I love to be in a world that is less cynical. And even if she's wrong, you know, clearly this motherfucker was real since he was leaving trace of his physical presence around her. Clearly the motherfucker was real, but I want to be in a world where I have such conviction, such truth in my mind. Dead Star says, JF, can you please acknowledge that telling someone they are not real is common slang? Yeah, and it's possible that it wasn't, I mean, given what you know, I'm going to demonstrate to you that you're wrong, okay, Dead Star? I'm going to show you the evidence. But it would have been possible to grant an interpretation of her statement as, you're not being real, bro. You're not being real with me, bro. You're telling me it's your AirPods? It's my AirPods, bro. You're not being real with me. Now, normally when you do that kind of being real type of slang, you don't exclaim it like this. You are not being real, bro. No, that doesn't work. And I'll show you that it doesn't work with the other evidence that we have now. But I am willing to grant that based on the publicly available evidence before this, sure, that could have been an explanation. Look, this is what Tiffany Gomez tweets on the day of the plane altercation. Hi all, I'm working on getting an interview with a major news outlet this weekend to spread the word on what happened. I've contacted Fox News, NBC News, CBS News, ABC, and I'm having a hard time getting a response. Like, my messages aren't getting through.
With a major news outlet this weekend,
I've been contacted by someone at NASA who knows exactly what these things are. So see, these things are, and wants to discuss it in an interview with a few of his scientist co-workers. One worked on Mars mission. Thank God there is good people in the world setting it up now. Wake up, people. So to those of you like Dead Star who had the hypothesis Tiffany Gomez is not crazy, she just got unlucky and misinterpreted, sorry bro, she's crazy. I'm sorry bro, I'll take a beer with you to comfort you. But yeah, she is just schizophrenic. Listen, that is, I've been explaining it again and again. This is exactly behavior that I've seen in people who have schizophrenia. You know, this idea that they're shape-shifting. We'll get to another tweet. There is the idea of shape-shifting that she reports. Well, I can't find the tweet in the video. Okay, there it is. I want you all to wake up. After the video came out, every account I had was locked. I've had people sit outside my home for days, follow me everywhere. Shapeshifters are real. I know there's more of you who have seen them. Wake up. This is typical schizophrenia thinking around shapeshifters. So the most likely hypothesis with Tiffany Gomez is that she is just a regular schizophrenic. We shouldn't reject her from society for this. We shouldn't laugh at her. But I want people to stop making up all sorts of hypotheses that this is some kind of Fed-related thing. She's a Fed agent, or the Feds knew about the plane and she was trying to get them out of trouble, or you know, the kind of things we hear from Deadstar, that she got misinterpreted. No, no, and no. All of these hypotheses must be excluded. Tiffany Gomez is just a schizophrenic who is very stubborn, who actually believes in her delusions. That is fine. That is fine. It's a form of cognitive diversity in our society, and we should cherish it, and we should respect it. But we should respect it at a distance and be careful, because dating this kind of girl, my friend, is difficulty 5, Duke Nukem level, hard, super hard levels of difficulty, okay? It's the kind of game that you can't win. Silver Spider says, people are more accepting of a schizo woman calling a black guy unreal than a sane white guy calling out black crime statistics. That is a beautiful comparison. It is true. The grace that we extend to woman is so high, and especially to a beautiful woman, is so high that here she is obviously being unfairly treating a random black guy on a plane, and yet people love her. But if you were to not have mistreated the black guy, but you were to just have seated with him for a rational conversation explaining the actual statistics coming from the FBI, you could be seen as a Nazi, a racist, and an evil person. Isn't it fascinating? This is part of the the cross that we have to carry as males. Everything we do will be interpreted in our disfavor. Justin, appeals court freezes Judge Shutkan's gag order against Trump. So this judge had put a gag order that was keeping Trump from talking about the case, talking about certain aspects of the case, and Trump has won on appeal, and we'll see if he also wins on a reappeal to the Supreme Court. I don't know if it will get there. Ruffman says, Jeff, how would you compare the crazy plain lady's delusion? No, I won't answer this question. I won't answer this question, Ruffman. This is all behind us. I am not doing the comparison. Popcorn Power says, we want to know the truth. If she was willing, would JF inseminate her or not? I would have no choice. I would have no choice but to inseminate her if there was legitimate reason to believe that her uterus is functional. I would have no choice but to say yes. But I would know that this would be my slow entry into hell. I would have just chosen to live in hell because of my radical belief that no amount of suffering justifies depriving myself of one more descendant on earth. No amount of suffering. I believe in all sacrifices possible to get to that place. At least not in terms of my fundamental values. Like, I wouldn't be disloyal to a woman for making another baby. I wouldn't leave a woman to get to a younger woman to have one more baby. But in terms of self-abolishment of my own hedonistic pleasures and enjoyment of life, I'm willing to do all sacrifices, including putting my dick into Tiffany Gomez. Justin Trudeau's Supreme Court has taken the brave position of standing up for oppressed pedophiles, ruling that mandatory minimum sentencing for luring children to participate in sexual acts is unconstitutional. Another L in the Trudeau column. Supreme Court stands up for child predators, bans minimum sentences. Well, that is quite dramatic. I guess that the thinking is there may be some of these crimes that are super incomplete, where they they haven't ended up hurting the child because they attempted to commit the luring, but they didn't do any actions with the child. I don't know. I am not for a loose approach of law against crimes against children. Ariel Suarez says schizophrenia is highly influenced by genes, but then again, what isn't? Yes, what isn't? Black Tie says, but Jeff, would you impregnate any woman, even ugly and fat ones? Well, thankfully, this is not a choice I have to do, because I have been approached by a woman who wants to have sex with me, and she is a 10 out of 10 supermodel level of beauty. Probably, you know, although I've been having sex with beautiful, beautiful women from all continents, beautiful Asians, beautiful white females, she may be the most beautiful woman I will have had sex with. And so thankfully, there is a market demand for Papa JF. There is a market demand that doesn't force me into having sex with fat and ugly women. I am super thankful for this. In fact, I don't know, has Thanksgiving happened or will it happen soon? I'm always mixed up between the Canadian Thanksgiving and the US Thanksgiving. But this year, I am thankful for the level of beauty of the females who come to me. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, if you're looking for... She looks like, you know, this perfect girlfriend meme? You know, the perfect autistic girlfriend of 4chan? Like, super, super thin, with this little autistic woman's dress. It is a woman of absolute beauty. End of the line, Joel says, JF, if you're looking for a subject for an upcoming show, there's a documentary here that might be worth a review. He sends me the documentary, The Dark Sad Life of Boogie 2988. Wow, that is interesting. I'll certainly watch it because I remember being Boogie bombed. I remember Boogie being on a stream, and back then I was a rising star of streaming world. And I remember making a show about Boogie's kneeling to feminism and explaining to him that he was kneeling to an abusive ideology that was looking at making him kneel and that he shouldn't. And I remember him being laughing his ass off at the thumbnail and joining the stream from his live stream. And he was sending his crowd also, and we got Boogie bombed. The people on the regular chat, it was all like there were thousands of his fans that were coming and they were saying, Boogie says hi, and that kind of stuff. And we couldn't even talk to each other because there was too many people on the regular chat. I always remember Boogie as a naive ball of fat out there in the world, floating in outer space. A man for whom I have pity. I have pity for his kneeling to the game, for his just accepting I'm going to be this gigantic fat YouTuber and that's all it's going to be. And I have affection and love for him, although, yes, it is a dark, sad life that he chose. I'll certainly watch I might cry. I might actually cry by watching this documentary. I will definitely watch it. Hezbollah Chief says that the U.S. is directly responsible for Gaza atrocities, will soon pay a heavy price. So there was this announcement that was much awaited from the Hezbollah Secretary General, who had to do a speech, and they said this was not a declaration of war speech, but he emphasized that Hezbollah's full entry into war with Israel will be determined based on developing events in Gaza and whether Israel halts its attacks on the Palestinian people. So there wasn't much fresh in this speech other than, oh, well, if you continue doing this, we will attack you. So that's all. That was the position already before, so there was nothing new today. A big nothing burger, says DK Shadow. Popcorn Power says, Boogie found someone to inseminate. Yeah, I think there was some girlfriend at some point in his life. And I think she was not... Was she a beautiful woman? I don't know. I don't remember. But I think she was at least not as fat as him. Not as fat as him. And I was happy for Boogie, but I also knew that it wasn't going well between them and that it's... I don't think it was a good relationship. I think there may have been an asymmetry here between, as often arises when there's kind of an injustice of beauty in the relationship. Keith Woods says, I know there's a lot of suffering happening in Gaza now, but please spare a thought for Gad Saad, whose many billionaire friends keep flaking on him. Yeah, Gad Saad is... It is kind of contrasting to see Gad Saad complain about billionaire friends who are annoying because they don't pay him enough. And the suffering in Gaza that Gad Saad is rooting for. There is an asymmetry here. Gad Saad says, Hi, Gad, I'm a billionaire who admires your work greatly. Many of my billionaire friends admire your work equally. You are a hero and would like you to invite you to speak to a very powerful audience. Oh, you expect us to pay for your flight? Oh, no. The next time that you are in our area, please stop by and deliver a lecture for free. Your billionaire admirers. So Gad Saad is complaining that he's not getting his piece of the pie enough from the Zionist pot. He wants a piece of that pot. Listen. It's kind of annoying because there are some people, as public personalities, there are some people who don't understand what I do and what people do in this field. We are working. This is our work. We are delivering stuff that people want to be said. And it's our job. That doesn't mean that we are just doing it for the money, but like I don't take that much pleasure sharing my political opinion on an everyday basis in my personal life. In fact, because I get to do it here every night, I pretty much have said everything I would ever want to say or have to say. And so when I get into my personal life, I'm not in a hurry to put forward my thoughts on feminism or that kind of stuff. So it's really a job. And Gad Saad would like to be paid for this job. I'm sorry, Gad, that you haven't made it to that point yet. Maybe try to publish a meaningful book like this, and you might be paid for your IDs. I personally make a living from public speaking, and I've been since 2015. Hopefully you get there at some point. Rise Again says, I can't wait for lefty race traitor cuck Linus Tech Tips to get wrecked by his ugly woman. So much evil for Linus. He's a good guy. I wouldn't want harm to come to him. I think he's great at what he does. I'm sure that I haven't even looked into his politics, but I'm sure it's pretty annoying. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was to side with Israel and that kind of stuff. But I never dug into this for him. But he does great. He was doing great YouTube content on computers. Rebecca Blonde's tweet. By the way, home stretch baking this little girl. My belly shocks me every time I look in the mirror. Isn't that amazing? Blonde in the belly of the beast, pregnant. As she should. Shamrock Shake says, JF, help a bro out and send Sad a copy. Yeah, I would totally send a free copy if he wants it. Cruz demands feds prove $66 million towards policing misinformation wasn't used to censor free speech. Well, of course it was used for this. They had this whole system where they were contacting Twitter, and then they had this little meeting, and then the Twitter people were like, oh, we're speaking with the feds. They're gonna tell us who to ban. And they were banning whoever they were told to ban. We have seen all of this. So, of course, your money got into censorship. You were paying these people for these meetings, and then you were expecting them to go back to Twitter and enforce the bans that you were giving them. Trump liar files an emergency motion with appeals court to block unconstitutional gag order. Well, we have seen that now the appeal court has froze. Okay, it froze. So that doesn't mean it's a final victory, but temporarily it's Trump can speak about the case. And finally, as a last news item, a really bad day. Someone was sharing this from a fail video, and he was wondering, did they have a plan? They don't appear to have a platform. They don't appear to have any plan as to what they will do with the lift once the pallet is out of the truck. Let's see. Yeah, well, it's hard to say what was the goal, because sometimes I've been working in this field, so I know a lot about these lifts. I've been carrying stuff in grocery stores just like this, sometimes bottles like this. And maybe his goal was not to pull the pallet. Maybe his goal was to get the lift out of the pallet. And then he thought, well, the lift will fall, but the pallet will stay in the truck. So that was probably his plan. But as he did this, what was important to do was to hold the squeeze of the lever here so that the lift wouldn't be pulling the pallet. But the lift turned out to pull the pallet just a little bit, and it was enough for all of the bottles to fall. Well. You have to know a lot about the physics of these pallets. First, you don't stack long columns like this with single boxes. You know, you have to... Of course, these boxes are self-embedded boxes, but those have a maximal height. They were way above their maximal height for bottles of beer. Wampun sends a super chat. He says, Linus... featured in a Vote Biden video. Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember that Vote Biden little video. Yes, so Linus is... It's too bad. He's been enthralled by the Biden enthusiasm, I guess. It's too bad. But still, he's a great content creator for tech stuff. He just sucks politically, and that's it. Thank you for being here with me tonight, and I'll see all of you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.